So, hey, Roger, before we get going, I had a dream that that was kind of interesting. I wonder if we might go over that before we get started on your program.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, this...
Is this a long dream?
No, it's actually quite short.
Because I wouldn't...
It occurred a couple of nights ago.
And you know exactly what it means, right?
Well, Karen and I have given a good try at it anyway. Well, in this dream, it was in no particular location, and I was by myself for a short time, and then there was almost like speaking in my head, because there was no other entity around to be speaking to.
Had you been drinking?
No. No, it was one of just a straight, ordinary nighttime dream. This kind of voice in my head said, all right, you think you can defend? Why don't you defend this fort? And I said,
fort?
You up to it? Will you defend this fort? What's that?
Fort, F-O-R-T.
Yeah, F-O-R-T, and it just sort of materialized in front of me, and it was similar to what I remember seeing in movies as a kid, these log stockades, that vertical logs that were put side by side,
yeah,
12, 15 feet high, or maybe even higher, and that there was a platform inside the fort where people could stand over and fire projectiles of one kind or another at whoever was attacking the fort. It was that kind of style of fort with a big, big rectangle enclosing an area. But in the dream, it was miniature. It wasn't that high at all. That maybe at most it was 4 or 5 feet high. But it was that design of a fort with an enclosure inside. And when that materialized in front of me, I said to myself, well, how the heck am I going to protect myself in that? And then I went about imagining what I might be able to do. I could lie down prone on my side, and then I'd be below the ramparts of the fort. And then I thought, gee, that's even those logs are miniature. If anybody had a gun and was shooting at me, they would just go. It would just go straight through the fort. And so as I was trying these different positions, I thought, well, okay, then I can go on the outside of the fort, opposite to where an attack is coming, and at least there'd be two walls that might protect me. But then I came to the conclusion that I'm never going to be able to defend myself here. This is kind of crazy. I shouldn't have offered to do this. And then at that point in the dream, it's not clear whether I told whoever back, told them I changed my mind, or I simply ended the dream. I'm not entirely sure, but it just I had decided that was silly to have offered to defend the fort, and then it was over. I didn't have to defend the fort anymore because I got out of the dream. So end of dream.
Okay. Now I suspect that if you guys had answered last Monday night when I asked about 6 times, what the hell was the previous Monday about? I even got down to, would you even be willing to suppose what the previous Monday was about? I didn't really get an answer. In other words, what is the context of what I was presenting? What you guys did is you told me the facts of what I presented, but you never told me anything really about the context of all those facts. So.
That's a fact. I can remember that. I can remember being able to recite some almost word for word, but I don't remember ever talking about what I thought the context might be.
Well, that's kind of what tonight is supposed to be about. So your dream is anticipated by tonight. So let me ask.
No kidding.
Let me answer the question. And what was the week before last about? What it was about was that I essentially, if you're going to live as you truly desire, let me ask you that question. Would you be willing to defend that?
Living as I truly desire? Yeah, I would be willing to defend that.
Wayne Dyer says, you have no authority to live as you truly desire. You cannot live by your own authority. Everybody would challenge you on that.
Oh, that's what you mean. Yeah, because I don't read Gwen Dwyer. So you're saying that if I went up there and said, hey, I'm going to live as I truly desire, there people would want to lock me up. They think I'm a fool.
Well, or they'd say, what gives you the right to do that?
Yeah, you'd be a loose cannon in everybody's world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was doing. Yeah. Now, one of the things that I essentially took away 2 weeks ago, or tried to take away 2 weeks ago, does anybody know?
Well, you were taking away the authority of God, the authority of a God-based religion.
Okay.
Well, that, and you were taking away anything that would function as to limit or control.
Right.
Or which in that way, then it would destroy my authority to live as I truly desire.
That's the point.
Uh-huh. Where's the aloe vera?
What is what? Somebody asked a question.
Angela said something, but I don't know what she said.
I think she talked before she muted.
Yes, I think so.
Angela, are you talking out loud?
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, mute yourself, please.
Well, okay, let's assume that's the case.
Uh-huh.
Would you be willing to say, get rid of religion? It's kind of like what Dawkins does. The problem with that is he doesn't offer an alternative to religion. If you want to live as you truly desire, and that came up because about 4 or 5 weeks ago I asked you, what is the image you have of yourself as an eternal being? And you said, living as you truly desire, which does not give me an image in that regard. But if you would want to live as you truly desire as an eternal being, you have to get rid of religion and all the impositions that religion imposes upon you, and all the authority of God and everything else that supersedes any authority that you think you might have. So here's a question I asked years and years ago. Would you be willing to create a new and different religion? Dawkins doesn't give you an option. He just struggles against, you know, Dawkins, the biochemical guy from Britain. He's an atheist. Atheists are against God, but don't give you an alternative. Like I heard Bill O'Reilly today talking about, there was no other option about how the universe started than that a mind created the universe. I say bullshit. The question is, would you be willing to create a religion of that allows you to live as you the authority of yourself? rather than the authority of God, so that you could live as you truly desired. You out there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if you started to create a religion of, and the religion I'm talking about is a religion of promise. I won't discuss it really tonight yet. But if you were to create a new religion, a religion of self, a religion that offers you the authority to live as you truly desire, would you be willing to do that?
Yes.
You think so? That's like the dream when you say, yeah, quick, okay, here, now defend that. Defend such a religion against the religion of God that's out there. Do you see how where it is then? That would be very small compared with the fort or of the religions of God that have been around for so long.
Oh, so you're saying that by any or particularly an outside measure, that if I was talking about a religion of the authority of self, that's kind of tiny compared to the Almighty God
that's right, in every regard. And everybody would challenge you, and everybody would attack you. How would you defend yourself?
See, this is exactly the question Roger asked me yesterday. Uh-huh. It's funny that you had the dream. Exactly what he asked me Sunday afternoon. How would I defend it? And, wow.
Well, I'm ready. How would you defend it?
Well, my question is, maybe to you and Pat, so why defend it? Why not just...
Because you're going to be attacked by everybody on every side.
Right.
Religious people are not just nice people. If you believe other than they do, they attack.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a loving God, but that's immaterial. Accepting is not part of religion of God. Authority is the religion of God. Fear of God. They will attack you at every... If this isn't... I think this is preempting today. I'm taking it away from the mundane self and life. There may be some particular thing in your life today that you are trying to defend, but I'm putting it on more of an eternal perspective. Because you said that as your view of yourself eternally is being able to live as you truly desire. Well, you can't do that as long as you have any concept of religion. The religion of God, anyway, that is. And the minute you create a new religion, in this sense, it would be small compared with what's been out there for 20 or 40,000 years.
So I was showing myself in the dream that
if there's nothing
or other my attempt to give myself an answer to the question that you were posing on that Monday night.
And I would have brought it up tonight, the same thing. Because that's what I was doing all along. I've been doing that. Since 1995, I've been doing that, but you guys didn't want to go there. Remember, the first 7 articles that we sent out was the Garden of Eden. That took that apart.
Even I wrote that.
So, Roger, I'm just, what immediately comes to my mind is that for years you've told me not to defend what I'm saying. explain but don't justify. So
but
I thought
this
the first
is his dream.
Articles,
this is
no,
his
you
dream.
Asked me this question. No, no, you asked me this question yesterday. You challenged me to defend.
Well, can't you defend it without... Can't you defend it without justifying?
Honestly, I don't know if I can. It's a slippery slope in my mind between the two.
Can't you say that if you can't live as you truly desire, no life is worth living if you can't live as you truly desire? Doesn't that defend it without justifying anything?
Oh, I see. So, yeah, like repositions my thoughts on the matter.
That's right.
Yeah. Gets me thinking different about it.
Yeah. All right.
And
oh,
Andrew,
yeah?
I've just realized now, Andrew, maybe Simone, maybe too, that when Roger's been using this term defend, I had misunderstood what he meant. And what I think you're saying, Roger, now is like if in a debating competition that it's usually based on a proposition, and the proposition is stated, and then you defend that proposition. So in many respects, it's explaining in as much detail as you're capable the proposition that I can live as I truly desire, and as you said a minute ago, a life not that that can't be lived as you truly desire isn't worth living. That's of explaining the propositions.
So it's basically
defending.
Talking about what you're for and not what you're against.
That's right. Son of a gun.
Remember last week, I think it was, yeah, I said, if you read these books and whatever it is, and start off with the assumption that everything is said is wrong, not correct, you'd begin to able to read these things from a different perspective. And Angela asked me to give her an example. Well, I didn't have a book handy, but now I do. Wayne Dyer wrote a book called Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. Doesn't that sound right?
Yeah, it's one of those that sounds, yeah.
Sounds like it's a perfect Dr. Phil.
It sounds right, and it's all wrong. If you change your thoughts, you're still living the same self and life differently. We went over different and differently for quite a while, a long time ago. And that's all you've done. You've changed your thoughts. You've just gone, he wanted to go from opposing to accepting. All they do in this regard is put you on the other side of an opposing proposition and say, now everything has changed. Your life has changed. No, it isn't. You're still opposing. You're just on the opposite side of the opposition. So everything is the same, it's just differently. But nothing has really changed. If you want something to change, you got to change it. Directly or indirectly, you got to know how to do that. Well, it all sounds right. The language of the what he says fits the structure of language, so the words come off real easy. And the process of those words fit together quite normally and naturally, so it sounds right. And yet, in fact, it's all wrong. But because it sounds right, doesn't mean that it is right. But that's what you guys do. You wait for it to sound right. That's what Obama got in. It sounds right, but you're not listening to what he's saying. Because it sounds right. So you gotta use the process or the structure or the sequence of what somebody is saying and apply it in a different way, in a different manner. Not the words themselves, because the words themselves are are distorting everything. If you change your mind, you've changed your mind, but you haven't changed yourself and you haven't changed your life. You're living the same self and the same life with a changed mind. Nothing has changed. This is behavior modification.
Yes.
Doesn't get you anywhere except on the Oprah show.
Yeah.
But if you want to get on the Oprah show, okay, well, do that. It sounds all right, but when you really, and it's the difference between talking to yourself and thinking. Think about what Wayne Dyer says. It doesn't work. No matter how many sentences he puts together inside the book, it still doesn't work. So, following along with that, we can say struggling against religion doesn't solve the problem. You have to have a new or different or other way to think. And in doing that, you have to have maybe a new and different religion to think with or think about.
So even talking about that which the way religion of God restricts or destroys our ability to live as we truly desire, that's still speaking from the same proposition.
That's right.
If the proposition is that we can live as we truly desire, speaking about anything that takes away from that is appropriate discussion. So it's not being negative and attacking. That's just describing.
Depends on where you go.
Yeah.
So the question is, would you be willing to create a religion of promise or a religion that of self or a religion of the authority of self that enables you to fully and completely live as you truly desire by your own authority?
Didn't you try to introduce us to the religion of self some times ago? Didn't you try to introduce us to the religion of self?
Once.
Some time ago?
Yeah.
I think I remember that, yes.
But nobody really was interested.
As soon as they heard the word religion, they were running.
Oh, okay.
And religion,
yeah,
as we're saying in all of this, your religion is not what you profess, it's not what you believe, it's the self and life you live. That's your religion. Doesn't matter what you say or what you say you have faith in, it's the self and life you live. So therefore you need a religion that of self, because it is the self and life you live. So it should be the religion of self and life you live. But that religion is almost, even getting started, is insignificant. Think about it. As opposed to all the other religions, Islam and Christianity or Jewish religion, any Hindu, Buddha,
that have hundreds of thousands of words that lay down how you are supposed to live.
As decided by God.
Yes, as dictated by God.
So you have no authority because you're going to be rewarded or punished by God. You have no authority. You're judged. doesn't do you any good to
One of my Christian fundamentalist friends say, horseshit, God gives you free will to believe, to follow his will or not.
Yeah, good. That's free will?
Yeah.
And then you get judged if not.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's the point of it. They don't understand. They're just mouthing words, talking about things.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you guys to think. One of these days I'll read you some of the things I've written about the religion of promise. I'll make you think.
Did you say someday you will?
Maybe.
Oh.
Someday I will. Maybe.
And that's a promise of sorts.
Maybe.
Okay, well, let's assume that if your dream is about that, and I'm willing to say that on an eternal basis, understanding the dream, that's probably what it's about. What other than something of that nature would you be having to defend on eternal nature?
Nothing. And that it's interesting that I did when Karen and I were talking about it, talked about that dream relative to personal self living in a defensive way.
That's what I do. I don't disagree with that.
But that shouldn't be the end of the interpretation.
No. That's the smallest part of the interpretation.
That out, showing that from the eternal point of view.
From an eternal point of view, it's as you gave me that answer 4 or 5 weeks ago. Well, I see as an eternal view, listening, living as I truly desire. Okay, let's assume that that's a valid answer. Then that's probably a valid way to understand this dream.
Yeah.
From an eternal nature.
Especially within the context of the Monday calls of the last couple of weeks.
Well, we can say since 1997, of 1995 in particular, because this is where I've been going. Living as you truly desire. I told you in 95 that forever living, it doesn't tell you what to do. If you want to be an asshole, forever living will help you be the finest asshole ever. That's living
as you... And I think I remember, and I haven't taken the time to look, that one of your earliest print pieces that you distributed to us had in the foreword that it is a religion of self.
Well,
that forever living is a religion of self.
That's the point of it. But you didn't like the word religion.
Oh, no. Back then, anybody talked to religion was just screwing with my head as far as I was concerned.
Well, how do you know I'm not screwing with your head now?
Okay.
Go ahead. Defend it.
Yeah.
See, the only defense is that if you really feel that if you can't live as you truly desire, life is not worth living. That's a defense, isn't it?
It is.
Is it arguable? Can I dispute it? Can I argue against it? Do you have to...
You could. You couldn't argue against the basic premise, but you may argue about me being crazy for holding that premise.
I probably would.
Right. Roger can argue about anything.
Either side, all sides.
Right, exactly.
Andrew, I don't argue. I'm not arguing.
he describes and...
And all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you to think about what you're thinking, what you're saying. That doesn't...
All right.
That's not arguing against you.
That's spearing you.
Skewing
yeah,
you.
Spearman does that.
So if there is nothing in your life, daily life, except for little everyday actions of being defensive, well, let's put it this way. You said something in the front of the dream that you changed in the middle of the dream. Apparently, in the front of the dream, they asked you, would you defend this fort? In the
yeah.
middle of the dream, you were worried about how can you protect yourself?
Son of a gun. That's a fact. I hadn't even noticed that.
You changed the whole subject matter.
Gosh, Pat, you even do that in your dreams.
I'm talented. Oh. Son of a gun, yes.
So I've stayed focused on the defense part because that was the front part of the dream in which somebody, a voice asked you, would you be willing to defend this fort? Would you be willing
yeah,
to?
Yeah, and I've switched midstream from, in order to defend the fort, I'd have to defend myself.
Protect
and
yourself.
I can't see how I can do that. That's what the dream, the sequence did.
Yeah, but you didn't know. That's not what this dream did. You did that.
How do you mean I did that?
You looked at the action and presumed that the action was you protecting yourself.
Ah, okay.
You could say you protecting yourself so that you could defend the fort. But that wasn't the issue. You changed the whole issue from defending the fort to protecting yourself.
Wasn't that what he did in Samurai?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, Samurai is an image of this. We asked you, couldn't you live as Lord of yourself? If you were Lord of yourself, could you not then be the samurai for the Lord?
Oh.
That's your choice. Could you not do that? But you look at it as you're giving your authority over to the Lord. No. Live the authority of self. And you end the struggle.
Isn't that amazing? That's so clear in this instance.
Well, there you go. That's about
well,
all I have
that,
to say
Ron,
about that. Except, how would you be, or anybody be willing to create a religion of self called promise? That gives you the authority to live as you truly desire. Like abiding beings have the authority to live as they truly desire, but they have no authority over anyone else.
Why do you call it the religion of promise and not the religion of authority itself?
Because promise is an easier word and does a lot of things if you read some pages and pages of what I've written about promise.
Mm, okay.
Is promise expansionary
What do you
mean?
What do you mean by that?
Well, then it's in living by the authority of self seems to cite a condition, but promise seems to imply action.
Promise
and
is
that,
only action.
And then that, then in being in action, to me that denotes expansion.
Yes, but it's an action as you desire, which is the
yes.
authority of self.
Yes. Pages and pages, you say?
Yes. But I don't have them at the table with me. That's because this whole...
Well, when you're ready, I'd love to be listening.
You probably wouldn't understand some of it because I have a problem in that promise has a certain... It's to be lived, not offered, not given, not used. We always think of like a promise as something that we do. Promise is your doing, is not something you do. It's kind of like the word.
Yeah, and promise. Yeah, and promise can also be expectation or you're full of promise, latent.
No, the promise that I'm talking about with a capital P only has one definition. You can't lay these other definitions onto it.
Yep, and that one definition is?
Well, I have to go get the papers and all of that.
Okay. It's, well, as I say, when you're ready.
It's really, it's kind of like, it's kind of like the word spiritual. It has, or love. You would understand what I'm talking about, but you can't define love and you can't define spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like the Supreme Court Justice says, pornography. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. So, uh-huh. Promise is like spirituality, the same sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
You can't give spirituality, you can only live it. It is a spirituality, is not something, or spirit is not something you can pass around or use or apply.
And then similarly, promise is not something I can use or pass around or apply.
Well, you can live it, but it isn't something individually, you can live it or not, but it isn't something you can apply in your life.
So is it one of those noun verbs?
What?
Is it one of those noun verbs?
Noun verbs.
Noun.
Noun. N-O-U-N, no space, no period, V-E-R-B. Because it seems to be, if I'm hearing it, if I'm understanding at all, promise is not only a noun, but it's also a verb, and it must be they must be together, or it doesn't mean anything.
No, it's a little different.
No? Okay. Okay, I won't go down that track.
But it takes the same context as spirit or spirituality. You can't tell me what that means. You can't define it. You can't call it a noun. You can't call it a verb. In the same way as you can't say anything about love, really.
That one must know the action that someone is calling love.
Well, the action love is easier to deal with than spirituality or spirit or promise. But the question is, let's take a few minutes and talk about such a religion. I didn't get a great deal of stuff going on last week, and so it kind of died on the vine. We're going to do that again this week? Because I'll tell you, what you're coming down to is, if I have to make a two-hour presentation every Monday, I'm not going to have you all participate. I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you. And most of you seem to think that's fine. That's what I'd rather have anyway. Okay. But it takes a lot of time to prepare a two-hour non-stop conversation. So some weeks may be an hour. Some weeks may be a half an hour. And that's the kind of Mondays we'll have. What I want to put into Monday. I have a lot of other things to do. I got things to do to write about the religion of promise. I don't have the time to only do Mondays. So if we do that, if we switch this back to where it's all my presentation, there's going to be some Mondays that are going to be pretty short. Is that okay?
I understand, yep, and that I understand that what you're saying about the time available and how you want to use it, yep.
You don't know how I'm using promise, so I'm not asking you to discuss promise. I'm asking you to discuss a religion of self, the authority of self, living as you truly desire, a religion of living as you truly desire, where you have your... You live by your own authority, but you have no authority over anyone else.
And that when I think about that, and you say, well, you know, talk about forming a religion of the authority of self, the last half dozen or a dozen words you said almost seems as like, that's about as codified as I'd want that religion to be.
That's
now,
right.
Now, we could discuss how that might look.
That's what I'm asking.
In action. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
That's what I'm asking you to start doing. What if? Suppose.
Yeah, what if?
See, the idea of the promise is to get you to reimagine yourself. You've imagined yourself so far only in accordance with the religion of God, one way or another, however you imagine yourself, it falls into that category. How would you imagine yourself being, like I asked you for your, I asked you to tell me what you imagine or visualize yourself being as an eternal being, you said, living as I truly desire. That's fine. Now, close in on that. Imagine yourself what? How? Living as you truly desire.
To me, that tells me that in order to actualize living as I truly desire and living by the authority of self, there must be something that I'm living, or a general direction, or something like that, and you've called it an emprise, and that, and as we've talked about before, that emprise must be something that cannot be accomplished in one lifetime, so that it has eternal nature. Then, in choosing and living that emprise, then it seems that it's that's what I'm doing all the time, even if I am shopping for groceries in the local supermarket in one way or another, that will provide, my emprise will provide a focus for what I'm doing. Even in a grocery store, I may see a label on something that gives me an idea.
Your emprise creates an eternal context, or at least in a context beyond this lifetime. See, you have no context beyond this lifetime. I'll become one with
God. In the absence of an emprise, that's absolutely correct.
That's right. I'll become one with God. What the hell does that supposed to mean? But if you have an emprise and you're living that emprise, you have a real understanding of what that means. And that's what I'm asking you to do in the same way. What
I'm resolving more and more that my emprise is to help others to find and live their own emprise.
Yeah, but you know,
or
that's not a religion of self.
That in living a religion of self, what if I'm living a religion of self?
But you always everybody always puts it on showing others to their emprise. In other words, You slink right back into the religion of God, the good thing, right thing, best thing to do.
Son of a gun, I can see that.
Religion itself has nothing to do necessarily with showing others. What do you really want to do? I want you to reimagine yourself. That's what we're talking about. This is imaginative minding time. And if you don't do that, I'll have somebody speak to you in German.
I could do that.
Oh. Would you do that for us?
Yeah.
Talk to Simone.
Okay, Simone. Should we say to Swiss German then?
Yeah, okay.
Now you're cheating. You're doing Swiss German.
Oh, they call it cheating already.
That's always the Swiss, cheating.
So long as not selber vormacht, oder anders gesagt, du kannst es nur selber vormachen. Und das ist die Religion.
Ja, du musst es leben.
Ja, genau. Du kannst niemanden überzeugen, du kannst es nicht verkaufen. Du musst es einfach leben und selber überzeugt sein.
Did everybody understand that?
Yeah, sure. Yep, mm-hmm. Sarcasm off.
Well, Simone will really tell it to you.
So what we said is essentially you can't teach something, you only can live it by yourself and be the Vorbild. What heißt Vorbild?
We always talk about using God's power to heal and stuff like that. You can't do that with promise.
Oh.
It's not something that you grasp onto and use it. God isn't working through you. Promise isn't working through you. you are living and working promise itself. It is not working through you, and it is not something you can give to somebody else to heal or to fix or to change.
And
but
I added,
you can leave it.
Yeah. And I added, you cannot even sell it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe next week I'll discuss it further.
Can I try to chime in for a minute?
Yeah, who is this?
This is Denise. And Jennifer and I were going to come down today, but we had a little glitch in the childcare schedule. So we've been listening in.
Okay, Denise, lay it on us.
Okay. All right, so I haven't been listening. I tried to catch up because I heard the last 3 weeks were incredible. So I tried to catch up, and I kind of fell asleep a few times, so part of me heard it on other levels. But, okay, so religion. Somehow I think that the whole perspective of the religion is somehow the opposite. Somehow you got to get there from the opposite direction, and I can't quite figure out how to explain that, but it's just a sense I have. Now, what I keep going back to is the analogy of the bike and balance, and to live as you truly desire. It's a matter of correcting the balance, and I think that's part of that opposite way of thinking. Instead of trying to get there, you're already there, and how do you keep it in balance? And so in that, so for me, I think that the religion, it's more the following of patterns to see who I am, is my religion. So my religion reveals me instead of me trying to live a particular religion. And so for me personally, my example of it would be the massage and removing the limitations in people's bodies. But I do see that's how what I do a lot of in my life anyway. And so, but the commitment's important, and I think that's the religion of promise or self is how it connects to me personally. And so I think it's what are the actions that I commit to every day in my life? What are my commitments or my promises in daily life, or otherwise my declaration of action as time goes on? So,
if it's a religion of self, yeah, then so, the promises to self are as important or more so than the promises to others.
Oh, absolutely.
So what promises are you, for those people listening in, what promises are you willing to make for yourself?
To keep removing my limitations and balancing to correct myself so I stay in my own personal, live as my truly desired flow. And
but
not.
We've done something here that's. We have not set a different level or of spirituality or something that opposes physical life. We bring everything into physical life. Physical life is the whole schlemiel.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah, it is.
There's
it's
no spiritual afterlife or spiritual before life or spiritual other life. It's all physical.
Yeah, and it's all here right now, right here.
So.
And like on the bike. The bike is a great example of that. Yeah.
Okay. Do you understand how when you think that there is a spiritual world or a spiritual afterworld or something of that nature, a greater world there, that how much that takes away from yourself and life today, you think it gives you an emotional feeling, but it doesn't. What it does, it takes away from your life in the first place. What it gives back to you is little pieces.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Everything in life is divine because now in this, it is not that there is a divine world or a spiritual world separate and different and other than this.
Correct.
This is it. Are you willing to live? This is it. Are you willing?
Yeah.
Are you willing to live? This is as good as it gets.
Oh, that's a tricky one. That's slippery, that.
This is as good as it gets. You've made it ungood.
Yeah. But I have to figure out what direction I look at that phrase. But yeah, it is as good as it gets, and I can, that good as it gets is infinite, if that makes sense.
Is what? Infinite.
I think, yes, it's as good as it gets, but the good as it gets is infinite.
That's right. See, we won't look at this as infinite. We look at this as temporary or short-term or mortal. Once you understand what we're talking about here, this does not become mortal. This does not become physical as opposed to spiritual.
Right, because that traps us.
That's right. Anybody else want to weigh in here?
So when you understand this, that's actually the greatest motivation you can have to change your life. That's as good as it gets, you know?
But all we've done in the religion of God and death, we've made it ungood to start with. And then tried to put up with it.
So the good as it gets is a statement that defeats good versus bad.
It's all good.
Yeah.
There is no bad. Good and bad are not things. Can you understand that there is no opposite to promise? Not promise is not an opposite to promise. Like good and bad. So it's not a...
Not promise doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Not promising or not promise. Stands alone. It is not an opposite to promise. Promise has no opposite. Or if you think you can give me an opposite to promise, please do so.
Could you say
so would not promise be simply the absence of promise?
I think when you understand promise, you can't even not promise.
Okay.
You probably, I would say you can't be alive and
not promise.
Not promise.
Yeah. Okay.
Being alive is promise itself.
So living your intention, would that be the same like a promise?
No. Now you say a promise. I haven't said a promise, I've said promise.
Okay.
I've tried to keep it away from being a promise, like he says is a noun.
Okay.
It limits
as a thing. Because it isn't a thing.
Promise is the living intention. The intention...
Not necessarily.
But it could be.
No.
Would promising, ing, promising, make it a verb more obviously?
No.
Because many people think that means that's something off in the future then.
Or that's an action you should take,
okay.
Like where we're talking here about intention. And
yeah.
So that defeats it.
Okay.
Then how about to promise? No?
But again, you use
it turns it into a noun.
To promise?
To
That's
promise
a
is a thing.
No, to promise.
To promise is a thing.
Thing? To promise.
To me, that's a verb. Okay, I don't understand.
I'll read you some of the things I've written about promise next week.
Oh.
And you'll understand. I even have struggle composing a sentence properly. Well, it's kind of like, let's talk about spirit or spirituality, and you almost can't do it.
Well, how about a glossary explanation? Give us a glossary, Thomas.
Well, I'm putting things together.
That'll be next week when he's got it all out.
Or maybe it won't be at all, I promise.
Okay.
I can't keep up with his wishy-washy ways here.
Well, how would that affect your life today, do you think?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is promise the same as declaring?
In a sense.
But it's the declaration in action. Right?
Yeah. Well, so is declaring.
Okay.
It's not what you say you declare.
It's the actual doing.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the same thing. You live You live your declarations. You don't make the declarations. You live them. What you say your declarations are don't mean squat.
A promise? Living your declaration would be a promise?
Not a promise. Promise.
It's promise. Okay.
You can't put an A in front of it.
You can't put an article
in front of it. Yeah, gotcha.
You can't put the in front
verb.
Of it. You can't put any article in front of it.
Gotcha.
Because you change this whole meaning. It's the same thing when I put abiding self as one word, and then I keep getting it from the other people written as two words. English has it as two words. Well, I don't give a damn what English has. It's one word.
Roger.
Free will is one damn word. You put it into two words and it's entirely different. It's the only thing that makes English so popular is because you do that, but it also makes English very difficult to understand, really.
It makes it a sloppy language.
It's a shorthand language.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's like when I picked up a fellow from Germany downtown and I brought him home. And we were talking about these things and I got Corolla to translate. And she was going yakety, 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 yak. And I said to her, what are you saying? She says, I'm translating the word truly. I've been asked more times about the word truly. What do I mean by truly?
She was going on and on and on and on and on.
And I've always been asked by a German, you want to try it and speak what you think truly might mean in German?
Wahrlich?
Wahrhaftig? Yeah.
Wahrlich?
Is there a word that works for it? But she was trying to explain it.
Yeah, that takes more words.
Yeah.
That takes quite a few words. I would agree.
That's what she was doing, is trying to, because he had asked, what does the word truly mean? The German asked me that question back in about 92. A friend that we met up at the Lualoa Cafe. Anyway, it's interesting. From one language to another, it's very difficult to translate.
That's right. I agree completely.
Yeah, I would like to have some conversation with Simone about, because I tried to translate some of Roger's words and always come up with a whole list of how you could translate it. And the very, very tiny little bit nuances actually what it means.
Yes,
that's why I usually describe what I mean when I use a word. Before I've given you the glossary in the front. In this case, I've given you 20 years of glossary.
Uh-huh. You're right.
Whoa.
Well, for me. But you remember, you, Misty, you gave me the films to translate, subtitles.
Right.
It wasn't nearly, it was impossible.
Yeah.
Subtitles would be a page in description. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay, I'm ready for any more conversation about would you be willing to live as you truly desire by the authority of self and live a religion that offers you the authority of self? And if you did that, yeah, how would you reimagine yourself being? How would you reimagine the life being, the universe being? Because what we do is we think the universe is the same, and then in the same way, then I'm living the authority of self in the same universe. No, you would live this, as you live the authority of self, the universe changes. In what way does the universe change?
As we change.
What? Okay, that's fine.
It changes as us.
Okay, as but me. Then give me an us.
As me. A me, I meant a me.
Describe an us.
No, you, no, it's a me, not an us.
All right, a me.
It changes as I do.
And then when you change your universe relative to you, that is the universe. So there you go,
yeah.
Denise. Give me a description.
Okay.
Who would you be and what would you do? Get out of the right, wrong thinking.
It's so tricky to even try to put an image together and not get locked into it. It's
that's
so
right.
Slippery. I guess the best way to answer that is just gets me going in life, what stirs me up. So the image, I like when I massage people, I'll go into the massage. When I'm massaging people and I see them, I work on certain areas, and they make connections to life that shift their way of being in such a way that, back to the bike analogy, it seems that they are no longer limited by certain things. They just become non-issues, and that's what I like doing that in my own life when, you know, I'm able to follow patterns and see certain things and just kind of fiddle with my life in such a way where I can shift it. An example might be my schedule right now. I've got way too many things on my plate, and it's limiting me from doing some things that stir me up in a good way, and so I'm uncomfortable. So I'm off balance. So to get my balance back, I've shifted my schedule around, and I am doing things that are, I don't know, just more enjoyable to me, and you know,
I don't know, just, and the kind of things would be just being in nature more. And that is something that I just am happy doing. I feel good.
Could you take a dream and see yourself in a dream, in a way of a dream? A dream has no, it has time in the dream, but
you're not limited.
But you're not limited in time. You're not limited in space.
Absolutely. I can see that. I love lucid dreaming. Anytime I wake up inside of a dream, I have so much fun. I want to go fly like an owl.
Wouldn't that same freedom be what you would have in your life?
Absolutely. It's just a little bit different in the time-space reality part of it, but absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's what we're talking about.
Hey, Denise, do you have the poem you read the other night? That's a poem of promise. The poem you read. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Oh, Roger, you got to hear this poem that Denise wrote about your work. The authority of self, the authority of the young. Of the self, wasn't that it? Yeah, you should read it, Denise. Come on.
Does anybody want to hear my poem?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure, go for it.
Okay, all right. So this is definitely has a lot of forever living in it, and it's a poem that I wrote because a year ago I saw this movie in one of my classes in school about a marketing man, about a guy who, it'll make sense with the quote, but this one quote really got to me, and I started just seeing subconscious patterns in different ways and started tracking them in different ways, so... anyways, it's called Desirably Functioning Gumption. In the movie, Killing Me Softly, I heard the marketing man, Rance Crane, say, quote, only 8% of advertising is conscious, and the other 92% we play with the inner recesses of your mind, unquote. So I ask, is this okay? I have a humanity issue with this, you see. Can I say that I have subconscious self-sovereignty? My subconscious mind is my responsibility. My programming has taught me to give away my power insidiously, as most of us do. See, when it comes to the inner recesses of my mind, I am in autopilot much of the time, a cog in the wheel of which I'm a number, as I make others their dollars and cents, my very connection to life hijacked. In my own 92%. Just like computer malware to people who don't care in a system that doesn't care. Some are good people, most are good people, pushing me to be a good little automation, telling me who and what I should be. I want my 92% to be free. I declare my operating system needs to change. In my life, many constituents I will rearrange. My subconscious mind is my responsibility. I'm wanting subconscious self-sovereignty. There are ways to access the inner recesses of one's mind. Subconscious hygiene is not for the weak. Rejected parts of positive and negative, I am becoming versed in subconscious ease. Knowing who I am in the shadowy shadow, bridging my entire being, as Einstein describes, not solving the problem at the level of the problem, I see you can't talk directly in the same language, yet conscious and subconscious can awarefully bridge through dreams, tracking patterns, and intuition. The subconscious mind interfaces with life, all the little details behind the scenes, our operating system running many things. So I don't have to think heartbeat. I don't have to create language each time there's something to say. I just follow the patterns of English already created in my nervous system pathways, already recorded wishes and desires, and housing my deepest and innermost fires. My subconscious mind is my responsibility. I am desiring subconscious self-sovereignty. I don't want to live only in my 8%. I want my full, awareful expression. I want the truth of who I am desirably and in full communication, awarefully imprinting me in the fabric of time-space reality. I claim all of me no longer good or bad. I feel all of me no longer good or bad. I accept all of me no longer good or bad. Meditation bridging into inner parts, dialoguing across the bridge to the majority of who I am. Patterns of what I'm living revealing me, my inner recesses I'm beginning to see. In dealing with this issue of humanity, I am claiming my subconscious self-sovereignty. Are you living as you truly desire? Are you aware of your inner fire? Active subconscious hygiene bringing you closer to who you fully are? What percentage are you living, and who has access to your subconscious? And is that okay? How much of what you're living is really what you want, and how much is the default? What reality do you subscribe? The default operating system in the society where compassion and loving kindness is harder to witness in everyday reality. I'm pro-humanity, you see. Can you say that you have subconscious self-sovereignty? That's it.
Yeehaw!
Wow.
So, Patrick,
yeah.
Can you reimagine yourself as to who you really are, as Denise says, from that dream? Could you reimagine yourself?
Mm. You know, the truth of the matter, at this very instant, it's extraordinarily challenging. And one of the things that amongst other things in Denise's poem was I don't have to invent a language every time I have something to say. I've got language already burned into the pathways and neurons of my brain. When you ask that question, I'm aware of how I have those pathways burned in. And
yeah, but I'm asking
and that,
you more than that. I want you
stepping outside of that.
I want you to imagine and then describe your imaginings, not follow your languaging.
It's when I go to imagine, it seems to be so huge, it's hard to put details to it.
Yeah, but maybe you can. Maybe you don't put details to it as you just leave it.
That's the point here, is that I think that what I'm hoping will occur if I just let my mind go for a bit, that I'll conjure up all kinds of images. But I don't think that's what you're suggesting. I think you're suggesting that I can place images or components of an image and rearrange them and look at them and play what if games with myself about how would I arrange all these things that as I reimagine myself.
Okay.
So that seems to be the way.
What information can you take from the dream and use as pieces to rearrange?
Well, one of the first pieces is that I would see that there is this, that the piece I refer to is how I switch subjects in the middle of the dream to a move from protecting, defending the fort to defending myself. And I, one of the pieces I'd like to put into my imagination is a self that doesn't feel it needs to be defended or protected. And so I have an image of functioning absent any kind of need or fear of attack or the need for protection. Right now that seems to sound like a bunch of...
Wait just a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, you're trying to control everybody else. See, I wasn't trying to control everybody else. I'm saying they're going to attack you. You're always going to feel that that's going to happen. Now, how do you want to respond to attacks?
Well, then I will respond by describing what I'm doing and what I'm up to.
Always explain, never justify. Be willing to explain, never justify.
Yeah. Always explain, but never justify.
Be willing to explain. I'll tell you what I'm doing, but I'm not going to justify it.
That's powerful, isn't it?
That's great.
The most important thing about it is it's saying, I'm not trying to make it okay in your world, other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I see that people that, when I try to describe some of this stuff, they think I'm want them to do it and impose it on them. And maybe I do.
Well, most people do.
Well, yeah.
That makes it okay if other people agree with it, well, then it must be right.
Yeah.
The more you get people to agree with you, the righter you must be.
And then you hear from other people the same thing you said, and then it becomes more
reinforced.
I had that happen today with a client. I spent half the day with a client, and I was expecting a big fight from him over some money that I was recommending that they spend on an aspect of a project. And I raised it with him, and he fed back to me what I told him 2 weeks ago, and the fight was gone. He told me we're going to have to spend that money. Oh, okay, that's great. Good stuff. And that always explain and never justify fits in any and all aspects of my life, my client life, my life with Karen, my life with my kids. I always be willing to explain, but never justify.
Okay.
So that's, I can imagine myself living that, and that feels very comfortable. That doesn't seem hard to do.
It gets to be very easy to do.
Yeah.
Hey, Roger, when you asked about moving pieces of his, or would you say, what did you say, something about rearrange pieces of his dream? What did you ask?
Yeah, I said, could you take the dream and create an image of himself?
Yeah, so I had something you said prompted me to think of it this way. The dream said, what, can you defend this? And I was thinking, if that was Pat's promise, I'll just say that broadly, then what came to mind was the life of the samurai, where not to go his own way, but promised to help others, you know, the samurai, right? He served the warlord or the master or whatever by partly in defense. Could Patrick teach others to defend their promise, religion, by how they live?
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to get out of the habit of what we do is we always think it's really good, right, better, best to show others, help others, fix others, heal others.
That's a good point. Aye, that's right. That's what you said earlier.
I'm trying to get the hell away from that.
Right. Well, where maybe what we're saying, when you said promise to me earlier, I was thinking it's bringing to life this self I truly desire to be, making that real in the universe.
That's right.
It's like I get a loner body, and then my promise is, hey, I'll take anything you give me, and I'll create this.
Now you're getting along to where we are in this whole series about the donor body is only a framework for you to regenerate the way you want it to be. Now you're talking promise in that regard.
Well, right. Well, more than that, it's the body. Yeah, that's a big one. But every situation in your life, anything that Denise talked about in her poem, is the same to be regenerated, whatever she encounters.
So, could you that regenerate?
Promise. Regenerate every freaking moment of life, if that's what it is, to what
right.
you truly desire.
Can you do that?
Oh, I think we can do that, and I definitely fall on, I guess I stumble when I try to do that sometimes.
Oh, I think everybody.
So, in general, I'm thinking yes. In the specifics, I'm regenerating.
Well, there's an
now.
Old rule of thumb. You can change everything in your life one thing at a time, or you can change yourself and everything changes.
Right. Oh,
changing
yeah.
Yourself
so, right.
is one thing. What Wayne Dyer was doing was changing your thought. That doesn't change anything.
Okay, right.
Change yourself and everything changes.
I got you. That's why you're big on regenerating the body primarily.
Yes.
I got you. And that takes me out of chasing after everything in life.
So, in each situation, instead of regenerating the things themselves, could you regenerate yourself in every situation?
Sure. In every situation,
It's just like every moment's a plant, every ensuing moment's a plant, every prior moment. Could you not then, every ensuing self supplants every prior self?
Yes. And that self is, what do I want to say, generated by the actions I live in those each moment.
Well, actually, that's not true. Your self is actually generated by the body.
Okay, right.
After the self that is generated by the body, could you turn that around and regenerate the self directly?
Oh, that's a good question. But I guess that is kind of the ideal, right? Because then I don't have to wait around for my body to kick in.
Could you regenerate yourself rather than struggling with and against the emotions of being attacked or being rejected? Hey, by the way, is Yuko, what's Yuko's last name?
Yabuki?
Huh?
Yabuki, Yabuki.
Oh. Is she a runner?
Yeah.
She won the...
Oh, Baker. Well, I'm sorry. She goes by Baker. I mean, it's a married name.
Oh, I don't know. Well, there was some Yuko gal over here from Honolulu that won the races over here this weekend.
Oh. Yeah, no, that wasn't her.
That wasn't her?
Definitely not.
Okay. It was another Yuko.
Yep.
I didn't know what her last name was.
So you were talking about regenerating the self directly?
Could you regenerate yourself directly?
Right. Well, that sounds like it goes a step beyond then the DNA.
That's right.
Generated self.
That's right.
Okay.
That's living by your own authority, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah.
Are you willing to do that?
Yeah.
Instead of living your body's emotions.
Yeah.
Regenerate yourself in every situation.
Yeah, you know, I know. I want to really fix that one in my mind. I am constantly reacting to body emotions.
That's right. And that's
because I think I forget.
No,
I think I forget.
It's because you're trying to hold on to and defend self.
Oh, so the emotions in that regard I value then.
What?
Are you saying those emotions defend myself?
You're defending, you're holding on to a fixing self, and
okay.
Everything around you, if it changes, puts self in jeopardy or in pleasure.
Oh, I could totally see that. Right, you know, sure, I want this continuous self, so sure, anything
so
that changes would
the point of it
threaten
is,
that.
If you're going to live the promise of self, or by your own authority, you can't have a fixed self.
I see what you're saying. Oh, so a continuous fixed self is one of those limiting things.
That limits you, and so then you live the body responses.
Right, and then that controls and limits you more. Okay.
You with all of this, Patrick?
Well, I'm following that very close. That's so clear right now as you guys are talking about it.
Okay, let's imagine for a moment. How would you regenerate yourself in every moment?
Well, Kim, immediately I bring to mind is actioning as I desire.
Fine, okay. How do you do that?
Well, I guess it maybe at this point in time it may require some instantaneous reflection.
Well, it starts
making
off,
a choice, and if I'm happy with it, act.
You action. You don't action as you desire. You action as your body emotions. And then
I'll agree with that.
Maybe not this.
So you're saying while I'm remain focused in my loner body, I will use emotions on the guide as a guide to what I truly desire in terms of action.
I've said that all along.
Yeah, okay. Clear, yes.
So that
must be a good thing to do because I really feel good about that. Oh, that's horrible. I won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. See?
Yeah.
This is why I tried to give you a motion of not discontenting yourself. If you're going to live as you truly desire by your own authority, you have to not discontent yourself, right?
I would agree. Oh, yeah. You discontent yourself, you're finished.
Okay.
I got a silly question.
I have a silly answer.
can I actually make an eternal choice to go out and have pizza and beer?
Let's assume that the answer is no, but you don't have to discontent yourself.
Yeah. That's right. That, okay, yeah.
You don't have to discontent yourself with, I should be doing such and such, and I'm not doing that.
Oh, I do that one all the time.
I think we're all famous for that one.
Okay. What'd you say, Misty?
I think we're all famous for that one.
Oh, I thought that was just me. Okay.
No, you're in good company.
Sure. So we went to a pie party last night.
And yeah, I kept how did saying, it go, by the way?
Well, unfortunately, there were too many pies. And you go to the next pie and you say, no, I shouldn't really do that.
I'm going to pay for that tomorrow or tonight.
What?
Well, that third or fourth piece of pie, you know you're going to pay for it tonight.
That's right.
Roger, I swear, you went to your classic example of the dessert tray.
That's right.
Yeah, illustration, not example.
That's right.
Though it wasn't all dessert pies.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, there were quiches and things like that there.
So I got to ask, Misty, how did your coconut cream with cookie crust come out?
It was wonderful.
Okay.
I even heard somebody pointing to it, talking to somebody else, saying, now that's good. This is good.
Mm.
So... We brought two pieces, little pieces home, and I ate them today.
Ah, right on.
Can I ask something about Patrick's dream?
Yeah, sure.
There was something, the whole thing about descending, it seems like it's really slippery word and is very prone to judgment. And so I don't know if it's possible to have descending... the end of the dream, what he said was that he didn't have to defend anymore. And then the very end, he said that he either changed his mind or he woke up. And I felt like that was significant because he was talking about the whole defensive thing. But right at the end, it seemed almost like an awakening of some sort. Is there any credibility in that or any truth in that?
Sure. When you wake up, and all of that is part of the dream.
Yeah.
You're with all of that, Patrick?
Yes. Yeah, I was following
Denise
that very closely.
Denise is sending you a message.
Thanks, Denise.
Well, that's where we're going. If you don't want to go, say so now, or don't call in.
Looks like a place I'm interested in going.
Okay.
Yeah. Me too. I look forward to you reading some of it next week.
Okay.
Some of what you've been writing about traumas.
Yeah.
We really should go over the stem cells, stem selves. So
can we do some of both?
Yeah. What?
Can we do a little of both?
Okay. Then next week we'll do some of each.
All right. Good if we can find the, I don't know what you call it, connections.
All right.
Undoubtedly.
The question is, can you change yourself in every moment? Are you willing to do that? Instead of responding to your emotions, can you change yourself in every moment so that
everything that's going on changes.
Oh, that's cool.
Got a rearrange of constituents.
Now, isn't that the only fair thing to do? Instead of struggling against, with, or for, or against what's going on or someone. Remember, I used to ask you a question. Is it ever fair to ask someone else to do something that you wouldn't be willing to do for yourself?
Yep.
And I said, you know, if you're making a lot of noise, I want you to turn down the noise. Yeah, I'm not, because it's bothering me, and I'm not willing to change myself and not be bothered. So I'm asking you to do something that I wouldn't do for myself.
Right.
Now, what I'm doing in the, what we're talking about now is changing yourself. Living by,
that makes sense.
Does living by your own, does changing yourself seem to limit living by your own authority?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm executing the change, not the outside.
I'm not sure the way you put it that I will agree. I could argue against that, the way you put it.
How would you put it then?
I don't know yet, but isn't the only way to have the authority of self is to change yourself rather than change the environment?
Oh.
That is the authority of self, is it?
Isn't it?
It is, yeah. I do the change I by my own authority.
That's right. And that's the only thing you have the authority to change. That's the only thing you have the authority over is yourself. Not
right.
Someone else or not something else. So exercise your authority.
Wouldn't it be weird if in fact that's the only thing I actually want to have change?
Isn't it? You really want to change yourself so you're not bothered.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet I fight against that. But maybe that's, in fact, what if that
you
is the only thing?
You try to hold stealth and get everything else to change.
Well,
and you
what
think
I run
that's
into
the authority. That's the authority of self, is to get a self and hold on to it.
Right. But if I'm discontent with anything, I've already run into a self that I don't truly desire. That I desire to change.
Well, Andrew, I give you 110% credit. You get a gold star for that.
Good for you, Andrew. Long time. I got a gold star.
I gave you a gold star about 12 years ago.
I remember it well. I still keep that.
Well, okay, that's where we're going. Think about it. Be prepared.
I'll do.
Be prepared to talk about it.
Well, thanks for kicking us off on this direction tonight, Pat.
Hey, quite welcome. That was really enjoyable tonight. Tremendous.
Yep. Thanks, Roger, for all your work on this.
Thanks, guys.
Good night for now.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
Okay, we're going away now.
Good night.
Good night for now.